This is lesson number 94 in our Bible Survey Division of the Bible Institute of Correspondence. And we're looking at the Great Tribulation period. Now, we mentioned the Great Tribulation in the previous lesson, but of course we did not deal with it. What we did deal with was the rapture of the saints and the first resurrection, which immediately follows the Great Tribulation period, and because of the fact, or immediately precedes the Great Tribulation period. And since we're dealing with something that immediately preceded the Great Tribulation period, we made very frequent reference to it. For instance, pre-trib and so on. In this instance, we're not dealing with the whether it's pre-trib or post-trib or mid-trib or whatever, or when the tribulation comes, essentially, but we're dealing with the tribulation period itself. I have assigned you Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1 through Revelation chapter 18 and verse 24. This may be the largest portion of Scripture that I have assigned to you in any one lesson in the entire study of the Bible Institute of Correspondence. I'm not sure. I have not necessarily compared them. Probably not so. Probably back in some of the Old Testament assignments, there would have been longer ones than this. But here you have 13 chapters of Scripture, and I want you to, if you have not done so recently, I want you to turn off your tape, and I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to read very carefully these 13 chapters of the book of Revelation. I want you to realize as you read them that you are looking at visions, not just a single vision that goes perpetually and chronologically all of the way through this, but several visions that describe details of the Great Tribulation period, and which in many instances may lay one upon the top of the other, not just one after the other. But with those things in your mind, read it very, very carefully. This lesson covers such a huge amount of Scripture and such a very broad subject that we'll just be able to overview it. That'll be the best that I can do in this period of time. The element of unknown always tends to intrigue people. And certainly, if you take the element of the unknown and add to that something that's very horrible, beyond expectation, then they become much more enchanted by it. Much superstition is based upon such things as that, though this is certainly not superstition, but is the kind of thing that superstitious people like to really get involved in. And have you ever noticed how varied the tales will be concerning anything that is a matter of superstition? We used to have a family that went to school where we did that were always seeing ghosts. They didn't call them ghosts, they called them haints. And they would tell you about these haints that they saw, and every child in the family that came to school would assure you that yes, they certainly did see those haints. There was just no doubt about it. But if you got them separated and got them to describe the haints, they all saw them in a little different color, and they did a little bit different thing. And so you got the idea that there was some speculation about what they saw. Well, that's the way it is in a lot of cases with people who talk about the Great Tribulation period. But the sad thing is that many of those people, as far as I can tell, are to a great extent disinterested in the rest of their Bible. I mean, you can, if I were to rent an auditorium here in the city of Lawton, I'd need to be a stranger that nobody knew anything about, because they certainly wouldn't believe it about anybody that they knew or had heard of. You know, if he had been established and been the pastor of a great church for years, they sure wouldn't believe he could tell them anything that was worth listening to. But if some unknown Johnny Fly by Night or someone who makes a lot of outlandish claims comes into town and puts a spot on the radio and runs an ad in the paper and says he's going to rent the MacMahon Auditorium and he's going to tell you all about the Great Tribulation period and what's going to happen to your money and when Christ is coming back. And I mean, he'll fill that place up. That same man could put up a sign that says, I'm going to spend a week expounding the gospel and explaining the union of Christ to the atonement and the washing away of our sins. And I'll tell you what, he couldn't get three carloads of people out there. They wouldn't come pay attention. They're interested in the extraordinary. I am always disgusted with that. It's almost enough to cause a person to say, I won't worry about prophecy, I'll just wait till it happens. But prophecy is a very definite part of the Bible, and we ought to be concerned with it. In this single short lesson, we can do a little more than just overview this, but that's what we're going to do. It will be divided into four different points. Number one, the time of the Great Tribulation period. Number two, the length of the Great Tribulation period. Number three, the events during the Great Tribulation period. Number four, the catastrophic ending of the Great Tribulation period. First of all, then, let's take a look at the time of the Great Tribulation period. Now, may I say in starting out here that the words, the combination of words, the phrase, Great Tribulation, appears only three times in all of Scripture. Excuse me. These are found in Matthew 24:21, Revelation 2:22, and Revelation 7:14. Matthew 24:21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Revelation 2:22 says, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." This is one of the verses that the split tribulation rapturist uses. Number three, Revelation 7:14 says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Will you notice that none of these terms, none of these phrases include the definite article? In other words, if you were to speak of the phrase that my message uses for a title, the Great Tribulation, the Great Tribulation, it does not appear in Scripture. However, there can be no doubt that the description is so detailed and the statements about it so clear that it is a definite tribulation. Like nothing that's ever been seen before, this just cannot be denied. Daniel 12:1 says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." Not this same time, but to that same time. "And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." And so it's clear that it is a very, very serious time of tribulation. The Lord Jesus Christ points to the destruction of Jerusalem as being a shadow or a symbol of this great tribulation. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples come unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all of these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And then the disciples ask the question concerning the statement that he has just made in the following verses. Matthew 24 and verse 3. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be?" Now they're referring to the things he's mentioned. "And what shall be the sign of thy coming?" Notice here the word sign. It is the operative word here. "And," once again, "sign, and the sign of the end of the world." "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And he goes on and gives us the details of this. And as he comes down to the following verses, verse number 12, 13, 14, and so on, he indicates that this is a sign of the Great Tribulation period. In other words, it is like it. You want to see a picture of it. You want to see a symbol of it. You want to see what it's going to be like. You want to see a demonstration. Look at the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus. That's not the Great Tribulation, not the second coming of Christ, but it is a picture of it, a figure of it. We'll touch that more later on. Now then, this Great Tribulation is immediately preceded by a time when Christians, this is not Jews, but Christians, he's talking here to these men, though they are Jews in their origin, but they are Christians, they are his disciples. It is only his disciples, not Jews, who are hated for his name's sake. Jews are not hated for the name's sake of Christ. It is Christians who are. They shall be hated for his name's sake. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse 9. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, someone says, is that talking about the siege of Jerusalem by Titus, or is that talking about the Great Tribulation period? It's talking about both. Talking about the siege of Jerusalem by Titus, and it all surrounds this very thing, but that is a prefiguring. It is a foreshadowing of the Great Tribulation and the Second Coming of Christ. It immediately precedes a time when Christians shall be hated for his name's sake. It immediately follows a time of the preaching of the gospel. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, understand that the gospel of the kingdom here is not some different thing than the gospel we preach. It's the very same thing that we're talking about. He says it's going to be preached unto all the world, and then shall the end come. So it immediately follows a period of the preaching of the gospel. Not only so, but it is immediately preceded by an assault upon the Jews, and it is indeed an assault upon the Jews. Now, we're not talking about them being hated for his name's sake. We're talking about them being hated because they're Jews. Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 through 21. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take clothes. Woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So we find that this great tribulation is immediately preceded by an assault upon the Jews. And indeed, as it continues, it is exactly that, an assault upon the Jews. Isaiah 65, 12, therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughterer, because when I called, ye did not answer. Listen, Christ was sent, and they did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Now, you understand that as we look at these things, we see a cumulative fulfillment of the Scriptures. In other words, scriptures that were fulfilled in the judgment of Jerusalem under Titus, those same prophecies are fulfilled in a more perfect and complete and final way when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. Isaiah 66, 15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. So as we look at that, we see that this is an assault. This great tribulation is an assault upon the Jew. It is immediately followed by the visible return of Christ. Matthew 24:29-30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Some years ago, a young man trying to make some sort of a defense for amillennialism said, "Now, you know, you fellows make a big issue out of the word immediately after the tribulation of those days." And of course, he was questioning the 7-year tribulation and so on. He said, "This word immediately just means suddenly." And I said, "Well, let's look that up in your dictionary. The word immediately does not mean suddenly. That's not what it means. The word it can be, it certainly does. It includes suddenly, but the word immediately means that it is not mediate. In other words, mediate means something between. A medium is someone who is between. A mediator is someone who is between. Mediate means that there is someone between or something in between. If you're talking about time, it is a period of time in between. Immediate means there is nothing between. There is no time between. Immediately after the tribulation. And so he tells us that immediately after the tribulation that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. This is not just upon Israel or upon Jerusalem. This is not Titus's siege upon a single city, but all of the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now let me contrast that briefly to the time when the dead in Christ shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to meet them, the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the people here are upon the earth, and they are mourning because they see him. There is no deliverance in this. There is only judgment in this. So it's so very different. And not only so, it is... You just can't take those things and put them together and say there is some way in which this could describe the same event. The return of Christ is described so differently in these two events that we must see his coming for his saints and his coming with his saints to bring judgment upon the earth as being two different events. Now let's look briefly at the length of the Great Tribulation period. Some men question this period of time. That is to say, that they say, "Well, how do you know that it's 7 years long?" And there have been men who have said, "Well, you know, it's really 700 years long." And others have put just indefinite, huge amounts of time. I think I read one man who said he believed that the tribulation period would go on for 7,000 years, that we were just looking at a long, long time before the Lord would return. But all sorts of speculation. So some men question this period of time. I believe that it is the 70th and the final week of Daniel's 70 weeks, or 490 years, the 70 weeks of years. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, we find this statement, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. He's talking about Daniel, Daniel's people, and the holy city that Daniel had been raised in, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. In other words, we're going all of the way to the time when sin is going to be eradicated from the earth, and Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign in heaven with us in his presence. And all of this is going to be finished. So he says, this is determined upon thy people. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. So we're going to bring us up to the point that we have a starting point. In other words, he says, from now till the time that this is going to happen, it's going to be 7 weeks. That is, of course, 49 years that Daniel is to wait until the going forth. And I expect at that time Daniel went back into the country. So there's 49 years. And from that point, from the time they go back in, and that commandment to restore Jerusalem is given, is going to be 62 weeks, or 62 weeks. And you can figure out 62 times 7 and see how many years that's going to be. And in during that period of time, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, that is, after all of this time is finished, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now, we know that Messiah being cut off is the crucifixion. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of war and desolation determined. So we find that going on through that period of time, and I don't have time to detail all of that. And he shall confirm the covenant. That is, this evil ruler shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Now, let me say something to you. We're looking at the tribulation period here, and we're looking at Jews who, during this period, have been converted to Christ. That's what this is basically focused upon. The wrath of the Antichrist is focused upon these Jews, and, of course, Gentiles, too, during this time, who have been converted to Christ. There are those who believe that the Jewish sacrifices, because he speaks of the daily oblations and so on, the abomination of desolation, they believe that the Jewish sacrifices are going to be restored and that the Jewish temple is going to be rebuilt. And there are even people out there that are spreading rumors that the blocks, all of the building blocks for the temple, are in boxes and they're hidden and waiting for the temple in Jerusalem to rebuild and be rebuilt. And let me tell you something. I have been preaching and pastoring now for 38 years almost, and I've been hearing that story ever since I started pastoring. And I think it's nothing in the world but a lot of preacher gossip. But it's a lie. The fact of the matter is that God would in no sense be glorified by the Jewish people or anybody else up on the earth restoring animal sacrifices ever. The Messiah has been ordered. Those sacrifices which were offered were not the taking away of sin. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. That's why God sent him. And so what we see here is the not the actual sacrifices or the oblations, but the antitype, or that which the sacrifice is pointed to, which is the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that Daniel is looking at that, and he's showing it to us through the symbols or the animal sacrifices and so on, but we are to see it as being Christ, not a restitution or a resurrection of the Jewish sacrifices which pointed to Christ, for indeed the resurrection of that would be a denial of the Messiah and not a worship of him in any sense in the world. Now, I know there are people who could give you an explanation contrary to that that might sound very good, but I want you to know what I believe about that. I believe that we're looking at the worship of Christ being the thing that is forbidden in that period of time and not the restoration of Jewish animal sacrifice. Now, as we look at this period of time, we understand that the Scripture clearly teaches us, even though it does not say the great 7-year tribulation period. The Scripture doesn't say that, and you know that. But Scripture clearly teaches that it is a short and unique period of time. In Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." In other words, he says this tribulation period is so violent and so destructive that if it were just allowed to go on at the rate it was, that there would absolutely not be any of humanity left up on the earth. And the flesh might even include all of the animals and so on, as were destroyed in the ark. I do not know that, because obviously there will be many animals that will die during this time because of the natural calamities or the supernatural calamities that will take place. But in any case, the scripture teaches that it is a short time, must be shortened if humanity is to survive. And then it teaches that this period it seems to be about 7 years long and divided in approximately in half. Now, I believe, I'm saying this, that the scripture leads us to believe this. I believe that the Great Tribulation period is 7 years long. In case you wonder what I think about that, that's exactly what I believe. I believe the Bible teaches that the Great Tribulation period is 7 years long, and that it is divided into two parts, each part approximately 3.5 years long, and that the second half of the Great Tribulation period is considerably more violent than the first half. Now, I'm going to say a little more about that in a moment. But Daniel chapter 12 and verse 5 says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of those wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." And it is commonly accepted, and I believe accurately so, that time is a year, times is 2 years, and a half, of course, half a year added up, 3.5 years. It goes on to say, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. So we see the division here. And the division is made at the appearance of the abomination of desolation, or the taking away of the daily oblation and the setting up of the abomination of desolation. Once again, I believe that we have to conclude that the daily oblation is the worship of Christ and not a worship by the sacrifice of animals as we had before, because the animals were only a type of Christ, and once the Christ has come, that sacrifice is made forever, once and for all. It is not to be made again, and no such offering as that, no sacrament of any kind, can be anything, so far as I'm able to tell, except an insult to Jesus Christ. And therefore, I believe that what we see there, Daniel only saw it in type, for Daniel did not have all of this knowledge. He saw the type, but what we shall see, or what will take place during that time, will be the fulfillment of the type and not the type itself. Now, as I said earlier, this period seems to be about 7 years long, divided approximately in half, and the last half is more horrible than the first. And I think we can very clearly see that from those verses of Scripture. Now, I want us to go ahead and look at the third point. There's something else I'd like to say in the second, but I think time is not going to allow it. And so we move to the third point and look at the events during the Great Tribulation period. The statement of Matthew 24:21 just demands of us that we say, what is this talking about? What could such terrible words be describing? For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, we know that the destruction was not quite as great as it was during the flood, but the tribulation would be even greater than that. We look back at some of the things that have taken place in time past, some of the historical things that have been done. As we look at the Assyrians' assault upon the nation of Israel when they were carried away, the brutality, the killing of people by the thousands. They took men and they skinned them alive. They hung them up and they disemboweled them. They would put them on a rack and slit their belly and pull out a bowel and let the dogs come and take a hold of part of the innards of a living man and jerk and pull and drag until they tore his insides out and ate away on this living man like he was a carcass until he died. They took little babies by the heels and smashed their heads against stones. They took women and ripped their bellies open with swords and let their babies fall out on the ground, some alive, and lay there until they died. The atrocities were unbelievable. We could look at all kinds of natural calamities that befell people during the Egyptian period of time. But the Bible says that there has never been a period of tribulation like the one that we're looking at here. What could that be like? It's a time that is so bad that it says that continuation would destroy all mankind, except those days should be shortened. There should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Think about that for a little bit. Down in the land of Egypt, after the Pharaoh that knew Joseph had died, Joseph had died, and a new Pharaoh rose up that knew not Joseph. And he took these people that had been made honored guests, and he made slaves out of them. And not only did he make slaves out of them, but he said, now, we're going to, in order to be sure that the multiplying of these male children does not become a snare to us, we're going to use the females as our major slaves, and we're going to have all of the males thrown into the river. And you think of the terrible, terrible tribulation that would bring upon the people, and the people who must have been killed because they would not do that. You think of the slaughter that took place in the desert and all of the things that people have gone through down through the ages. But he says here is a tribulation that nothing is like. While those people were in Egypt, the Israelites people, they were still multiplying. They were continuing to multiply. The Bible says, except these days be shortened, that all of the flesh upon the earth would be destroyed. It has been said, in fact, this was said many, many years ago, and it would be much more magnanimous now, that if you were to take the people of China and line them up eight abreast and start them walking at a full walk, walking them off of a cliff and killing themselves, that as fast as they could step off the cliff, think of that, count cadence, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and in that length of time, every time that you repeat a number, eight souls go over the cliff and die that rapidly, that the people of China were multiplying faster than they would be killing themselves if they did that 24 hours in the day. That's unbelievable, that amount of people. It just multiplies thousands and thousands per hour. But the Bible says that this tribulation is so great that except it was shortened, in other words, it's actually going to be decreasing the population of the world, and except it were shortened, that all of humanity would be destroyed. In Revelation chapter number 9 and verse number 15, as well as in Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 through 11, we find some insight on this. Revelation 8:8 says, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star was called Wormwood, and a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And then we go on to Revelation 9:15, and the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And he goes on and talks about this, that the third part of them were slain. Now listen, as you look at this, you realize that two different times it appears that 33% of the people on the earth are killed. In other words, if you take 33%, a third part, you have 66%. And then if you take that 66% and take a third of that, that's 22% of the original amount. So you have 33% and 22%, and what you actually have is 55%. Now, since it didn't happen at the same time, there would be some multiplication, but approximately 55% of the earth's population is killed in only two of these incidents. Is it any wonder that he says, except these days be shortened, that there should be, that all flesh would be destroyed? It is a time that is so bad that men will want to die. They will seek to die just for relief. I mean, you stop and think of the suffering that you might be willing to go through if, when that suffering was finished, you could live. But this is going to be so bad that men will be desiring, they will be, as it were, begging that they might die. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 17, and verses number 1 through 7. I don't have time to read all of that, but Revelation chapter number 9, verses 3 through 6. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And think of 5 months of that. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. I don't know what all of that means, but I know that that is a terribly, terribly severe degree of suffering. Then this time is marked by an unholy alliance between political and religious power. And I don't have time to read Revelation 17, 1 through 7, but we're talking there about this terrible alliance, this unholy, ungodly alliance between religious and political power. And you know, amazingly, we have seen this growing in the world in our day and time. It would seem that in a nation, for instance, like the United States of America, when you see all of this talk about separation of church and state so as to be sure that they deny Christianity everything they can, including, if they could, I think, the right to vote, certainly the right to solicit blocks of voting as Christian people. But it was said just recently that President Clinton was going to make a particular allowance for people to go to Cuba during the Pope's visit. In other words, they were going to loosen travel just for the sake of the Pope's visit. I have no idea of the havoc that that may cause, but it will probably be done because of the union between the great whore and all of the whoremongers in politics that are playing around with them. Well, you say you would expect that of Clinton. Yeah, but tell you something that troubled me greatly. Ronald Reagan did something that was very much the same thing, and so did George Bush. It doesn't make any difference what political party they are. You're going to find that sort of thing taking place, this ungodly alliance between the Antichrist and the political world is just astronomical. Time forces me to hurry to the closing of this lecture, and that is the fourth and final point, the catastrophic ending of the Great Tribulation Period. Babylon, the unholy alliance, is to fall. Now, when I say Babylon, we're talking about not only a political figure, but we're talking about a religious figure, and we're talking about them as being unionized, as the Roman Catholic Church. This will destroy the earth's ill-gotten gain. Revelation 18, 1 through 18, gives us a terrible description of that. And again, time will not allow me to read it. I want you to read it in connection with the fall of the earth's terrible economic state and the ill-gotten gain. The Antichrist forces, which have persecuted the saints and the prophets, are going to fall. Revelation 18, 21 through 24 tells us about that. And I'm going to take time to read it. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And you know, you read Isaiah, and boy, it just goes with this so wonderfully. And he goes on to say, and the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more in thee. Time is getting away, but just let me say that Babylon the Great is to be destroyed. Now, this force was alive and well in the days of Nimrod. It continued and intensified in the days of Jezebel. That's what is being talked about in the book of Revelation, the church that let Jezebel preach. And it had its greatest days of destruction in the form of Roman Catholicism during the Dark Ages, when just multitudes of Christians were persecuted and killed. The world is taken up with sorrow and mourning over the supernatural plagues and with the great economic loss that man is experiencing during this period of time. But on the other hand, heaven and the prophets and the holy apostles, the saints of God, are encouraged to rejoice because Babylon is fallen. At this point in time, the Lord returns in His glory and fights the battle of Armageddon and subdues the world's Antichrist forces. It is a notable thing that the Great Tribulation period never ends for the wicked, but they go from this time of terrible tribulation to the ultimate condemnation from God. Thank you for your time.